To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
Yes, welcome to episode number 229, which means that along with this week's Thursday morning video, which will be video number 930, there are over 10,000 minutes of audio and video on my website that explain how you can change your life. And all the people who are going through my free series of online events at the moment, which actually come to an end tomorrow evening, Thursday, will appreciate that there are many more, hundreds, thousands of minutes on my website that explain how you can change your life. So why do I keep getting emails that tell me, I feel stuck. I feel like I'm drowning. I can't trust myself to make the right decisions because of all the wrong decisions I've made in the past. I can't move forward. I can't achieve my goals. I can't get my ideal job. I'm stuck in a relationship that I don't know how to get out of. I don't know how to do what I need to do to change any aspect of my life. Why would little old me be able to change my life? How come little old me should even think that they could change their life? How could little old me do anything? Well, straight off, I can tell you that little old you won't change your life because it is wired not to. Little old you can't change your life because it's operating on automatic pilot, and automatic pilots always bring us back to the same place. And little old you likes being stuck where you think you're stuck at this moment in time. But little old you is not you. Little old you is the person that you think you are. And little old you is old indeed, because the person that you think you are now as an adult was formed when you were 2 or 3 years old. Not only is little old you incapable of moving you forward at all, little old you is stuck way in the dim and distant past. Cognitive psychology calls little old you the conceptual self, the person that you think you are, the person that is an accumulation of, again, what cognitive psychology calls psychological snapshots that were learned through flashbulb learning before the age of 12 or 13. In particular, as we've said on many occasions in this podcast, in the third year of your life, when you were learning the skills of collaborating, communicating, negotiating, and manipulating anybody and everybody around you to get what you wanted out of life, having realized at the age of 2 that everybody around you did not share your view that you were the center of the universe, and nobody around you was going to hand you everything you wanted in life on a silver platter. So little old you developed into a series of programs used by the aforementioned automatic pilot to enable you make it through your day by ducking and diving, weaving your way around life's everyday challenges, thinking that you're not up to dealing with them. Now that sounds like little old you is a diminutive little guy or girl who really has a very low opinion of themselves. And sadly, that's true. In our formative years, we are designed to take negative psychological snapshots because being negative keeps you on your toes. What if all your psychological snapshots were positive, and you put on your rose-tinted glasses every day, and the people all around you who are not going to give you what you want simply ignored you, and you did nothing about it because you had your rose-tinted glasses on, saying to yourself, ah, this is grand. I'm fine. I'm living the dream. Now, that's an interesting point, just as an aside, because an awful lot of people think that by telling themselves they're not little old you, by bolstering their ego, by trying to enhance their self-esteem or self-confidence, by telling themselves that they're better than they think they are, in other words, I'm talking about positive affirmation, they think that they'll be able to convince little old you that you can do anything. But as we said a few minutes ago, little old you won't help you. Because he can't. Little old you can't change your life because he's wired to keep you in the box that is, in effect, the little old you that you learned during your formative years. What got you to where you are in life, regardless of whether you think you're stuck or drowning or think you're already a success, regardless of where you are, what got you to where you are in life is not going to get you to where you could be. I didn't say where you want to be, because even little old you would stick his oar into that and tell you, oh, you want to be like the guy who has the bigger car. You want to be like the girl who has the better clothes. You want to be like the couple who go on better holidays. You want to have financial security. No such thing as financial security. But as we have discussed in this podcast before, you could have financial freedom today. But little old you would say, little old me, I could have financial freedom today. That sounds unrealistic. And if you think it's unrealistic, it ain't gonna happen. And then again, little old you has a whole compendium, a whole collection of reasons why little old you couldn't succeed. Why the things that you might wish for in your life are unrealistic. Or even worse, why the things you wish for in your life are not the things that you're going to get because little old you doesn't deserve it. And yet, as we said a minute ago, little old you is a series of psychological snapshots taken through the phenomenon known as flashbulb learning. Little old you is not you. You need this traveling companion who has been with you all of your adult life to wander off on their way into the mists of time from which they came. Because there is a person so much better than little old you waiting to be discovered within. Now, the minute I say that to people, they say, don't be so ridiculous. How could I change my life if I couldn't change my diet and lose weight? How could I change my life if I couldn't change my everyday behaviours, go to the gym and get fit? How can I change my life if I turn up for an interview and every time I open my mouth, I put my foot in it and I don't get the jobs I'm looking for? How could I change anything in my life if I can't change my job? How could I change anything in my life if I can't change my career? How can I change anything in my life if I can't make what I really want to make of my business? It all boils down to the same thing. And each failure that we have, each example that we have of not being able to succeed, simply supports the concept that has been thrust upon you by little old you that no, you can't. Now, I mentioned the series, the free series of online events that is coming to an end tomorrow evening. That series of events is called Yes, You Can. Because when little old you is taken out of the equation, you are a free agent. You are at liberty to do all the things that you would love to do with your life, in your life, to experience all the good times that you would love to have in your life, to get the dream job, to lose the weight that would see you fit and slim, to have your ideal job fall into your lap. Everything I've just said are simply examples that I can quote again and again and again from online program owners. The online program is called the Psychology of Success online program. Online program owners with whom I've worked since the online program was launched at the end of 2018. But I've been doing this for almost 30 years. Otherwise, there wouldn't be 930 videos online. Otherwise, there wouldn't be all these podcast episodes online. And you know, I came to video late in 2008, and I came to podcasting even later. I've been doing a podcast every week for only not quite the last 5 years. I've been hanging around since the 1st of February 1996, telling people that little old you is not who you really are. And that if you were to let that traveling companion wander off into the mists of time, you would discover the potential and the power that you have within. So if little old you isn't you, who are you? Before we get to answer that question, you are very well acquainted with how little old you abuses you. You procrastinate. That's an easy one. Most people will tell me that they are procrastinators, that the old saying, don't do today what you can put off till tomorrow, applies to them. Let's pick on procrastination for a minute, because procrastination has been picking on us for so long. I have something to do that I would prefer not to do. Now, I might prefer not to do it for a variety of reasons, and probably one of the more fundamental reasons that I would prefer not to do something that I know I need to do is that I don't think I'm up to it, because little old me wouldn't be able to do it. Or little old me would be afraid of doing it. So I put it off. I kick the can down the road. And then I see it lurking on my to-do list, and I kick it a little further down the road. And then I get annoyed with myself. Then I get frustrated with myself. I might even get angry with myself, but one of the things I will certainly feel is guilt. Guilt for not doing what I know I should have done in the first place. So which is easier? This is a really simple question, and the answer is blindingly obvious. Which is easier? If you have something to do, just do it, or think about it. Get annoyed with yourself about thinking about it. Get angry with yourself. Feel guilty about thinking about it, and then try to do it after wasting all that time and energy. Which is easier? And yet, most people will tell me they are procrastinators. Most people will tell me that they feel guilt in one form or another. I'm 67 or thereabouts. I grew up in Holy Catholic Ireland in the 1960s. I know all about guilt. As somebody, a fellow country person, emailed me a couple of days ago, "Hi, I'm from Ireland too. Can't move on with my life, and I don't think I deserve to move on with my life." You know, good old-fashioned Irish Catholic guilt. Now, that's guilt with a capital G, perhaps. And by the way, you know, in the Western world, guilt is kind of built into us. It's a given, because we are put on this earth to live a better life when we leave this earth. Now, I'm being ever so slightly, I was going to say facetious, but actually that's the whole premise of religion in the Western world. And if you've moved on from religion into spirituality, oh, isn't that an interesting proposition now? But if you have moved on from religion into spirituality, you might think to yourself that that old-fashioned way of looking at things is old-fashioned and passé. But it's been in our veins for 2,000 years or longer in the Western world. So guilt is something that is kind of almost hardwired into us, like the fight or flight response, the stress response, almost hardwired into us in the same way as we're all born with the ability to recognize a human face as a face, or indeed see a human face on the side of a mountain or in a damp stain on the side of a building. We won't go there. That is a digression. I'm sorry about that. The point I'm making is that we have all this programming that leads to all these thoughts, like I'm a procrastinator, like I'm annoyed with myself, like I'm angry. Oh, here's another one. Like I'm lonely. Now, a lot of people are languishing in loneliness. but loneliness, like anger, guilt, fear, frustration, stress, even depression. Loneliness is only a thought. Yes, you might be alone. Yes, you might be isolated. But loneliness is thinking about isolation and being alone. And that's when we start stirring the pot of our own feelings of being victimized, being a victim, that the world is out to get little old me. The world is not out to get you. The world is waiting to do everything in its power to enable the real you flow. And by flow, I mean, first of all, what the University of Chicago calls flow. Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi in the University of Chicago. If you're interested, his little book called Flow, all you have to do is Google flow and put in after it M-I-H-A-L-Y. I don't know how to spell his surname, and I'm not even sure if I've pronounced it properly. But the University of Chicago has researched and provided an enormous amount of evidence to us all that we can be in a state of mind called flow, which is completely different from me being beaten around the place, dragged into the attic where my little old me is squatting, and have the living daylight kicked out of me by my own thoughts. That's how normal people are living. The fact that normal people are living that way is news to them, because people are unaware. The normal mind is unaware. The normal mind is living in the past, created by little old you and relived day in, day out on a subconscious level. You know, I've quoted before how the neural lab in UCLA has calculated that little old you will pepper your brain with 70,000 thoughts every waking day, and they'll be the same 70,000 thoughts that you've been thinking since you were young and impressionable. You're living in a fog of thought, and that doesn't really count as living at all. Sure, it doesn't. But you could liberate yourself from all that. Now, that frightens the living daylights out of little old you. It frightens the living daylights out of so many people who have been living the unaware life. And I think it was Tony DeMello who said, the unaware life is not worth living. And, you know, truth be told, the unaware life isn't life at all. It is existence. And that is a pale facsimile of what life could be like if you liberated yourself from your own thoughts. You know, people will talk about liberating yourself from your own fears. That's something Nelson Mandela talked about. But fear is only one of those thoughts. We are cowed down by the thoughts that run through our head every day. And as I said a minute ago, you may not be aware of this because most people are unaware. People have often said to me, and I said it earlier on, even if you're a success, you're still living from the perspective of little old you. So many people over the years have said to me, But I'm a success already. One guy emailed me a few years ago. He said, I don't need to talk to you. I have all the success I need. About 6 months later, his business went bust. We all need to realize that whatever we're experiencing in life now has come at a price. And the price is, first of all, that I've missed most of my life if I'm living on automatic pilot. The second aspect of the price that I pay is the amount of effort it takes to even be a mediocre success. And what I mean by that is a success in relation to the mediocrity of normal crazy people. Now, you may find that a little judgmental. I don't care, because everything we're talking about here is backed up by decades of research in the field of cognitive psychology and behavioral psychology, and 25 years research in the field of neuroscience, and in the last 10 years, research in the fields of quantum physics and bioelectricity. If you're jollying along, and clearly that's the wrong phrase, being led by the hand by little old you, you're going around in circles down the plug hole, and you're missing your life as you listen to these words. The alternative is, and I've used this word a couple of times in this episode, the alternative is liberation. Not just liberation from your thoughts, not just liberation from who you think you are, not just liberation from your perceived inadequacies. And by the way, not just liberation from your perceived strengths either, because they're only perceptions born out of the thoughts that you learned through flashbulb learning when you took those psychological snapshots when you were young and impressionable. We're not just talking about liberating yourself from your own fears, liberating yourself from your own procrastination and from your own guilt, your anxieties and your fears. We're not talking just about that. We're talking about liberating your inner power, your inner potential to live the kind of life that is best for you. What do I mean about your potential? What do I mean about your inner power? Well, let's look at it, first of all, in simple everyday terms from the perspective of the flow research from the University of Chicago and the latest research in relation to how our energy flows. Let me pause there for just a second, because if you were to read the book called Flow by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, you would come to the conclusion that flow is a state of mind, and that is how the University of Chicago characterized it 20 or 30 years ago. But modern science tells us that flow means so much more than that, because when I'm freed from my own thoughts, my actual energy flows through a system only recently discovered in the body called the primovascular system, what an acupuncturist would call the energy meridians of the body. Our energy flows when we liberate ourselves from our own thoughts. Let me put that another way. Thoughts block our energy. That's why I've said on so many occasions in this podcast that a mind that is ill at ease creates a body that is diseased. The flip side of that is obviously healthy mind, healthy body. A mind that is in flow creates a body of energy that is in flow within itself and in flow in a coherent fashion with the energy of the universe around us. Now, I know that might sound a little bit weird to you, but it'll only sound weird to you because your normal thinking mind would say you can't have what you ideally would like out of your life because it'd be unrealistic. It falls into the same box as little old you saying to yourself, really, you know, you'd be better off staying where you are at the moment and not listen to that mumbo jumbo. We're talking about real science here. We're talking about hard science. And what that means in everyday practical terms is, first of all, when I'm in flow, I do what I need to do. So procrastination has been thrown out the window. I do what I need to do effortlessly. Now, we need to explore that because this is one of the most immediate practical advantages of letting little old you go. Effort comes from thinking about what I'm doing. Effort comes from, for example, thinking that I don't like the job I'm doing and wishing I was out on the golf course, which makes doing the job that I have to do is so much more difficult because I'm split now. My mind is fragmented. Part of my mind is actually on the golf course and the other part of my mind is thinking about how I don't like the job, and none of me is actually pouring any of my energy into doing the job. But once I drop thought, and the research proves this again and again and again, I do what I need to do effortlessly. Let me put it another way. I do what I need to do without thinking about it. And as we've said in a number of episodes here before, we are at our best as human beings when we are being, when we're not thinking about it, when we're being and when we're doing. There are weird and wonderful, what I would describe as attributes to the state of mind called flow, detailed through the research from the University of Chicago. When I am doing what I'm doing effortlessly, not thinking about it anymore, I'm immersed in the here and now, and I forget myself. Now, that's what the research says, but that is not what the research means, because what the research should be saying is, when I'm so immersed in what I'm doing in the here and now, I forget little old me. All ideas of how I have these perceived inadequacies are gone out the window because in actual fact, they didn't really ever exist in the first place. They were only wielding power over me because of my automatic pilot in my mind, channeling my attention into those thoughts, giving them power, feeding the beast of little old me. So when I am in flow, when I'm clear in my mind, when I am experiencing clarity of mind and presence of mind, in other words, when I'm actually present, I'm just doing what I need to do. I'm doing it effortlessly. I'm dancing through my day like a ballerina. I've forgotten all of the misgivings I had about myself. I am allowing my energy flow. I'll come back to that in a moment. And I am experiencing the fact, as Einstein pointed out in the 1920s, that time is relative. If I hate my job and I can't wait for it to be 5 o'clock in the evening, my day is going to drag. If I'm fully immersed in what I'm doing and loving it, because I'm not thinking about it anymore and getting a kick out of doing it, by the way, because it's effortless and I can see the results as a result of my simply doing what I might have thought I couldn't do in the first place at all. When I'm in that flow, when I'm in that zone, time flies because I'm immersed in the moment. The old expression, time flies when you're having fun, is actually scientifically proven, but that's only half the story. Let me explain what I mean by that before I come back to the flow of energy. Consider being a normal crazy person on a fortnight's holidays. Now, most people look forward to their fortnight's holidays because they don't like the other 50 weeks of the year, which is crazy because it means that they're missing the other 50 weeks of the year. And in fact, we live in a holiday destination, as I said on a recent episode, and most of the people who are here on their fortnight's holidays are missing those 14 days as well because they're so stressed out trying to enjoy themselves. Utter madness. But say you're a normal crazy person and you go on your 2 weeks holidays. And of course, the one thing that we realize when we come back from our 2 weeks holidays is, what was that? That went so quickly. The fortnight flies. And yet, you would or might have experienced a day or two during that fortnight's holidays when everything was so wonderful. The day seemed to go on forever. The fact of the matter is, it isn't so much that time flies when you're having fun. Time bends when you're in flow. And when you're in flow, as we said a minute ago, and I said I'd come back to it, your energy flows. Your energy actually creates a coherent electromagnetic pulse shimmering through your body. As quantum physics says, we are made of shimmering superstrings of energy, trillions of. But our energy, when it is flowing unimpededly, when it is flowing coherently, shimmers through our body, creates heat and light, and sends our intentions out into the universe. Now, I know you will think that that sounds weird, but that is only you thinking that it sounds weird because you were taught, particularly when you were young and impressionable, that the world doesn't work like that at all. Little old you was told that, first of all, you need to better yourself. That's the whole premise of education. You educate yourself to better yourself, which means that you're in need of some form of remedial attention. Little old you, I was going to say learned to live in a box, but little old you is the box that you actually created for yourself in which to live. That's how bizarre it is. And little old you told you that you needed to get that good education to better yourself, get a good job, get a bigger house, keep up with the Joneses, retire and die. And I'm only being slightly facetious in relation to that because most people's lives are lived on a set of rails. Get off the train of thought that you have been on all of your adult life. Skip the rails. There are no rails. The rails are only created as a result of the things that you learned about yourself that have been holding you back as a result of the programs, the 70,000 thoughts that are playing through your head, playing on you every day, playing on your mind. Get off the train of thought. There is a whole world not out there. There is a whole world in here, because your external world is created by what is going on in your inner world. And the wonderful news about that is that you have complete and utter control over your inner world. And if your outer world is a mirror image of what's going on inside, which it is, there's no if about it, then being in total control of your inner world, you can actually create the kind of life that you'd love to have, the kind of everyday experiences that you would love to have. I got an email from somebody just this morning because I'd asked some people going through those free sessions what kind of things did they not want in their life for a start. It's an easy question to answer. The more difficult one is, what do you want out of life? But we won't go there in this episode. We started with an easy question. What kind of things do you not want in your life? And the email came back from this guy who said, I would like less hate, less anger, and less fear in my life. To which I replied, why don't you go the whole way? Why not have no hate, no anger, no fear in your life? Why don't you open the doors and walk out into the flowing energy of the universe by simply letting yourself go, by liberating yourself from your own thoughts, by liberating yourself from your own fears, hatreds and angers, by turning up to your life in the here and now, by allowing your energy flow and by allowing your energy flow coherently in tune with the flow of universal energy around you. As I said earlier on, so many people think that the system is rigged, that the world is against them. The world is simply waiting to deliver for you all the best. All you have to do is turn up to it. And by that I mean, because people often ask me, what do I mean by turning up to it? I mean being present in the here and now. Seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling and tasting what is going on in the here and now. Immersing yourself in the task at hand in the here and now, even if that is cleaning the toilet. Immersing yourself in what you are doing. Losing yourself, losing little old you, by being immersed in the moment, because when you lose yourself in the moment, in effect what is actually happening is you're finding yourself. Or perhaps more to the point, the true you is finding you.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.